So today I'm going to talk about Sequoia Git, which is a tool for making signed commits matter. And I'm sure that a lot of people in this room, you're here, you want to hear about signed commits. You sign your commits, right? How many people do? Oh, lots of people sign your commits. Oh, about more than half, 60%. That's great. Do you know why you sign your commits? No, nobody knows why they sign their commits. Maybe I didn't give you enough time to raise your hand. So what do version control systems do? Because we all work with version control systems, primarily Git. They track changes. They track the changes to the code. They track, 15 minutes left. Okay. They track changes to code. They track authorship. They track other metadata, like when you committed it. And they track, of course, the commit message. And we have a problem because the author can actually be faked. Who decides who the author is? It's the person who commits it. So the person who commits goes ahead, says, oh, it's whoever, not me. For instance, I could go ahead and create a commit from Linus. I use git config to set his email address, his name. I modify a few files. I add a commit. Improve build definitely does not add a backdoor. Very inspiring commit message. And then I commit it, and it's good. It says, when we look at the log, it was by Linus Torvalds. And believe it or not, GitHub will even show it. If you look at the picture over here, you'll see that Linus Torvalds has committed to my repository. GitHub says it must be true. Now, GitHub knows who pushed the commit. It was me. I pushed it. And the person, I'm logged in, so that's why GitHub knows, but the committer and the author are different, and couldn't GitHub go ahead and correct that? And the answer is no, because we want attribution, right? That's one of the important things in the free and open source world, is that the person who does it gets the attribution. At the same time, it's not only about attribution, it's also about blame, git blame. if somebody comes along and does something bad, we want to be able to look at their other commits as well. So impersonation is bad. Why do we care about it? Well, maybe you have a project that's hosted on a forge and the forge decides to insert a backdoor. Maybe they were forced to by some three-letter agency. How do we catch that? Or maybe your project is hosted on a forge and your account is compromised. So that could happen. And the attacker adds a commit and they insert a backdoor into your project. How do we prevent it? How do we detect it? Or maybe there's somebody out there who's submitting patches on your behalf, like I just did for Linus. And it's a low-quality patch because it didn't actually fix the build system. It introduced the backdoor. What do you do? Did I damage Linus's reputation? Well, probably not in this case, but other people? How do we catch that? Well, preventing impersonations, digitally signed commits. We have cryptographic proof. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here. No, the signing is the easy part, right? We already saw that two-thirds of the room does the signing, but nobody knows why we do the signing. So why? We can sign, but again, we have the same problem as we had before. Anybody can create a certificate with anybody's name. I can go ahead, I can create a certificate for Linus Torvalds. Here it is, SQ key generate, boom, OpenPGP certificate with the user ID that Linus uses. Okay, so we want to know, is this really Linus's certificate? And the answer is, of course, no, because I just generated it, right? You're all following along. What about, so how do we authenticate these certificates? Well, we can talk to the developer. So if you happen to be here at FOSDEM and you go to the Cube stand, you might see Marta there, and she's wearing her t-shirt. And at the bottom of it is the OpenPGP fingerprint for the release key for Cubes. So you could take a picture of her, or you could go online on YouTube. You could talk to other people, and you could figure out what are their release keys. That's a good way to do it. You could go to a key signing party. We used to have key signing parties at FOSDEM, not so much anymore. There are centralized authorities. For instance, there's keys.openpgp.org, which is a verifying key server. They verify that you actually control the email address, so it's similar to, for instance, Let's Encrypt. We have the Linux kernel developer key ring. You can go there onto the website. You can download the key ring. It's included in some distributions. There's the distribution GPG keys package, which contains all of the certificates for all of the different distributions, or most of them at least. You could even use GitHub if you trust GitHub. GitHub.com/ user-handled ArchGPG, and boom, you get the certificate. So there are a lot of different ways you can do this, and preferably you do multiple ways, and then you have multipath, and then it's harder for an attacker to intercept it. And by the way, this is Linus's certificate. So, okay, so now we want to authenticate a project. We can get a certificate, we can know that it's definitely from Linus, for instance, so we check that the commits are signed, we do git log dash dash show signature, and we see that we have a good signature from Linus Torvalds, but it's not authenticated. Ooh, so that's not so good. And then we have a good signature from me, and it is authenticated. But we want to check that they're from the expected certificates. This is not from Linus's certificate. It says Linus on it, but it's not Linus's certificate. So how do we authenticate a project? We have to create a list of all the contributors and get all of their certificates. That's on a small project, maybe okay. For a big project like the Linux kernel, that's quite a lot of work. We have to track when contributors join and leave the project, because here we see on the right that Alice joins the project, she adds a commit, maybe she adds five. At some point she leaves the project, she's no longer allowed, maybe she was kicked out, and then she adds another commit. So the old ones, they're okay, presumably the maintainers have re-audited if they kicked her out and they decided that it was okay, but the new ones are not okay. So now we have a temporal element as well. This is getting really complicated. We need tooling. The maintainers need tooling, and for the third parties, maintaining this database is just completely impossible, because I use a lot of software. There's no way that I can track all of the maintainers and all of the politics and everything. I have to delegate this to the maintainers. So I need to rely on, as a third party, the maintainer to somehow do something to maintain this database. So why do we want to do this? We want, of course, detect the unauthorized commits, as I said before, with the impersonation thing. We have a malicious forge. We have a compromised forge or account. Maybe there's a machine in the middle. But we also want to detect the case when the forge or registry gives a project to a new maintainer. So it may be, and we saw, for instance, in the Node world with the registries, that they'll just randomly give a project. They'll take it away from one maintainer and give it to another. Or that happened in the Ruby space recently. And in the Node space, there were some abandoned projects, and they just gave them to new maintainers. And maybe they were malicious, and some of them actually were. And that was a big problem. And I wanted to detect that. If the forge goes ahead and does a rug pull, then I, as a third party, want to easily detect that that happened. Okay, so we kind of see the problem. What does the solution look like? Well, we definitely need some clear semantics for signing commits, because nobody really understands what's going on. We need the project to maintain a signing policy, which evolves over time, and we want our third parties to be able to rely on the maintainers of the projects to authenticate the project. And how do we do that? Well, there's still a check involved. It's just a smaller check. At the time that we want to use the project, we do an audit. We look at the code. Does it pass the smell tests? We look to see who the maintainers of the project are. Are they trustworthy? Do I know them? Maybe not personally, but I've heard of them. They have a reputation. I look online. Okay, I'm happy. Or maybe I'm a company and I actually pay some people to do an audit. I don't know. But somehow you decide, okay, at this point in time, at this commit, I trust the project. And then in the future, we're going to chain forward. Now, the limitations of this is that since we're relying on the maintainers of the project to maintain the database, if the maintainers are tricked, if there's some sort of social engineering, then all bets are off, right? Because the maintainer of the project is going to add some gchang to the list of authenticated committers, and then they go ahead and they add it, and I'm not going to detect that. So we can't detect social engineering, but we can detect the rug pull, we can detect impersonation, and we can detect attacks on infrastructure. All right, additional goals. We do not rely on authority. That means that we want verification, not attestation. Just because GitHub said it was so does not mean that it is so. Just because I used SigSor and Google says that this is a certificate that belongs to me does not mean it is so. I want to verify this. So Sequoia gets our tool. It contains three parts. We have a specification. You can see it over here. It's not been certified by the ITF, but There is a long document that describes all the semantics so somebody could come along and implement their own tool. We have a configuration file and a whole bunch of tooling around it. So the signing policy, the most important thing, the center of the how this works. It's stored in the Git project itself, not separately, in the exact same repository. That means that it evolves with the project. When Alice leaves the project, the maintainer of the project modifies this file and says, Alice has left. That means commits before, we can still authenticate, commits after, Alice, no, rejected. We have different capabilities. We have users who are allowed to add commits. We have users who are allowed to add tags, create a release, add, remove other users, and even audit commits, which is needed if somebody's certificate has been compromised, then the maintainer needs to go back and check that the commits are okay, and also mark it as such. Okay, so on the right-hand side, we see it, the policy file. It is a TOML file. At the start, we have the version. We have the list of the good commits, those that have been audited. We don't have any compromised keys in this case. And then we have two certificates here, one for Neil and one for Neil offline. The Neil certificate is only allowed to add commits to the repository, but the Neil offline certificate, which is on my YubiKey, that is allowed to do releases to add users and remove them. So it's relatively straightforward, but the good news is the maintainer doesn't have to do it themselves or do it manually. There's a tool. So if we want to add, for instance, Alice to the repository, we can run sqgit policy authorize Alice. We specify her certificate, and then we see here that Alice was added. She was granted the sign commit right, and then this is her certificate. And if we want to update it because people change their certificates, they extend the expiration, we can do sqgit policy sync. It goes to the local certificate store that you have. It goes to a bunch of different key servers, and checks for updates and integrates them. And if we want to examine the policy is also relatively straightforward, sqgit policy describe. And here we see all of the people that are allowed to do different things, what their certificates are and what their rights are. Okay, so how do we authenticate commits? What does it mean for a commit to be authenticated? In sqgit, we say a commit is authenticated if at least one, not all, at least one of the parents say that the commit is acceptable. So we have the current commit. I want to authenticate it. I look at the parent commit. I get the policy out of the parent commit. And I say, does the policy say that this person is allowed to make this change? And if it has multiple parents, for instance, with a merge commit, then any of one of them can do it. Any one of the parents. Okay, so that's how we authenticate a commit, but how do we authenticate a range of commits? Well, we need a path from A to B. So here we have a path from the top to the bottom. There's a merge commit involved. Only one of the branches of the merge commit is completely authenticated. And so we have a path from the top to the bottom. And so we would consider this range of commits to be authenticated. Now, why don't we need both branches to be authenticated? The answer is simple. The person who adds the merge commit has presumably reviewed the changes in the unauthenticated paths. So there still needs to be the authenticated path for the merge commit, but we can add things from other people. So how does it look? A quick example. Here we have a git log graph on the left, and it shows that we have four commits. And on the right, we use sqgit log in order to check whether or not a range of commits is considered authenticated. So we have to specify the starting commit, which is our trust root. That's the point where we audited the project. And in this case, we're going to use the first commit, AAB50. And then we see that we check the three commits that come afterwards. And we can see here in violet that Alice signed the most recent commit and Neil offline signed the other two, and that they were considered okay. There is a verified path here from the trust root. And then sqgit returns zero. What happens if we can't verify a commit? How does that look? Let's imagine that we have Bob come along. He adds a commit to the project. So if you look here on the left, git log show signature dash N2, we have a commit from Bob. It is a good signature from Bob. We have the certificate locally. We authenticated it. Maybe we even know Bob personally, but the maintainer of the project didn't say that Bob is supposed to commit to the project. And sqgit detects that. It says, error, this certificate or key is missing from the policy file. We're not able to verify this commit. There is no authenticated path from the trust root to the head. Bob adds a commit. He is not authorized. Rejected. Exit code 1. Okay, so what can we do? We want to merge commits from other people, right? Because when we have a free and open source project, we have the core team, but we also have external people who come along. Well, the committer can re-sign Bob's commit. This preserves the linear, I'm going to take 2 more minutes anyways. Preserve the linear history, or we use a merge commit. So Alice can go ahead and merge Bob's commit. And in this case, we have to use the dash no fast forward. Otherwise, Git is so smart that it just says, OK, we're going to fast forward it. So we look here on the left. We see we have a merge commit on top. And then on the right, we see here that sqgit correctly detects that the commit from Bob itself is not authenticated, but that there is a path. And so we're able to authenticate the new head, which is the merge commit. So more details. Yes, you can update your own expired certificate if you haven't committed to the project for a while. We can recover from hard revoke keys by using good listing. We can verify tags and tarballs. That's specified in the document, but the implementation is incomplete. And there's a lot more details in the man pages and documentation. What about forking a project? We absolutely support that. Basically, the new maintainer is, if it's a fork that's not authorized, is not going to appear in the file. But that's exactly the semantics that we want, right? If somebody forks the project, comes in, and starts adding commits, I want to know about that. I want sqgit to say, hey, this is not good. All right, how can you integrate Git sqgit? If you're using just a Git yourself, then you can use a hook. You can add it to your GitLab CI using this little snippet. We have a container that has sqgit and does all the right things. If you're on GitHub, we have an action. Unfortunately, GitHub destroys signatures on fast forward, so you also need to be extra careful there. And we have a fast forward action that helps. And here you can see on GitHub the output of sqgit. It displays that the new commits are authenticated. So related work, I want to point out very quickly that Ludovic Cortez had a talk here a couple of years ago about building a secure supply chain for geeks. And he has a similar system to the one that I described. The semantics are different. It's not exactly the same thing, but I'm particularly grateful for the work that Ludovic has done. And I encourage you to look there as well. And finally, signing commits is useful. We just need better tooling. I believe that sqgit provides that tooling, and I hope that it's going to help protect against impersonations, detect unauthorized commits, and that we don't need to have the forge as part of our trusted computing base. Thank you.
So I think we have time for some questions. Maybe I can hijack this and start with one. Git is SHA-1 based. Is that the problem here?
Is it a problem that is SHA-1 based?
Yeah, if someone forges SHA-1, identical SHA-1 commit, the signatures will apply to the identical SHA-1 commit.
That's a good question.
I'm
not entirely sure, but the answer is definitely once we move to SHA-256, then things are going to be looking better. And everybody is using the SHA-1 CD implementation, so we're kind of protected anyways.
But I think this would depend basically on second preimage. So yeah, for arbitrary commit, you want another one that has the same hash. I have one question, very short one.
Yeah.
When I do rebases, can I sign the rebase commits?
Yeah.
Because there are different authors in the rebase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the person who does the signature does not have to actually match the author.
Oh, yeah.
So it's only looking at the signature.
Do you have any thoughts or plans about how or if this could integrate with signing releases as well? Like, if could you use this to declare in the policy this key is allowed to sign releases, and can you do like software supply chain stuff like that?
Yep, absolutely. So the focus in this talk was on the commits, but we also have support for authenticating tags and releases. That's primarily in the spec. The implementation has not done the association between the policy and the tarballs yet, but that's hopefully going to be something for the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.